It's time to get local and shine the spotlight on someone in our community. Welcome to Stateline Business First with Dean Urban on Sports Fan Radio 1330.
Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Dean Urban. He's Eric Jackson. It is Wednesday, which means it's one of our favorite times, EJ. It's seeing eye to eye with Dr. Richard Miller. And as always, he's on our board as the Hall of Fame guy. You're on more than any other guest we have.
This is true.
It's amazing.
It's amazing that he keeps wanting to come back and talk to us, too.
And you know, yeah, I'm just amazed.
Is it the large bribes that I pay?
I think it's the fee you feel sorry for us. Hey, today, you know, we're in the midst of just kind of ending winter, but it's that season for what they call dry eye. And it's like my eyes, at times, I think it's like they have sandpaper in them. And, you know, so as we talk about dry eye, is it common, Dr. Miller, that people have this?
Oh, incredibly common. If you look at the literature, they say some 40 million people in the U.S. have it, but I think it's even much higher.
Really?
Oh, yes. So, and the classic findings, like your eyes will be burning.
Right.
They'll be red. They'll feel sandy. Conversely, you can also have a watery eye caused by dryness.
Really? Okay, so I guess the first thing, what causes this? I mean,
well, there's two major causes.
Okay.
Number one is a lack of tear production, and the other is the improper composition of the tears. Mainly, you're missing an oily layer on the surface that prevents evaporation.
Okay. So, again, and this is just natural things that your eye normally does, correct?
Right. And, you know, there's nothing on the surface of the eye to keep it wet. So we have to produce water and blink every 10 seconds or so to smooth it out. Otherwise, you end up being like a car during a rainstorm without your wipers working. You just don't see well.
All right. So the blinking will help moisturize. And, again, so you'd mentioned you feel like a burning, sandy irritation, red eyes, poor vision.
It can blur the vision a little bit too, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I can blur tremendously. You can have a bad enough dry eye that you're legally blind.
Oh, wow.
I didn't realize that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it can be severe in some patients.
It's rough if you're driving too.
Yes. Yeah. Well, you know, and there's certain factors that aggravate a dry eye, as you picked out driving. Because when you're driving, number one, you're blinking less, you're staring at the road. Number two, you've got all this air coming through from the car. And in the winter, you know, it's all zero humidity there, so it just dries out even more.
Now, what are the tears made of that we talk about?
Well, there's a couple different layers. There's a mucus layer on the bottom, and then there's a watery layer, and then there's an oily layer on top that prevents the evaporation. So three basic components.
Okay. And so you have that. You got to. So one of the things, if you're not producing the tears.
Well, yes. Yeah. See, in the old days,
yeah.
You know, let's go back like 7 years ago.
Okay.
Doctors automatically assumed that everyone just had poor tear production. Now that we have more sophisticated tests and can test people, we know that only 14% of people are not producing enough tears, while the other 86% have a lack of that oil layer.
Okay. And if they don't have the lack or the oil, I mean, obviously, is there things you can do to make the, I'm starting to get worried again.
Right. Well, the first thing is, you know, you can't tell by just looking at the eye.
Okay.
So you have to test, and we can test for tear production, and you just measure how salty the tears are.
How do you test that? Do you tell a sad story?
Right. Yeah. No, because that kind of those tears are for crying and irritation. That's totally different than the lubricating tears.
There's two different kinds of tears?
Yeah, there is.
I did not know that.
No, I didn't either.
That's the first I've ever heard of that.
Yeah, so the key is we use a special device, and you touch it to the corner of the eye. You get a little bit of a tear in it, and then it just measures the salinity content in it.
Huh.
So that's number one you do. And then secondly, you can take infrared photographs of the oil glands in the eyelids. Each eyelid has 25 to 30 tiny little oil glands, and every time you blink, they dump a little oil into your tears, and that oil rises to the surface of the tears, the old oil on water, and prevents a barrier from the tears evaporating from your eye. Because you can be making a million tears, and they could just disappear in 4 or 5 seconds because you don't have this oil layer.
Hmm.
Wow. I didn't know that. We are talking with Dr. Richard Miller. It's Seeing Eye to Eye with Miller Eye Center, and talking about dry eyes. You know, and if you've ever heard people, I must have seen, it probably seems like a million commercials talking about if you have dry eyes, you know, squirt
the old
this
Ben
stuff.
Stein commercials.
Yeah, yeah, whatever it
dry.
Is, right?
Yeah.
And I think we've hit a, that kind of stuff really doesn't give you long, and I'm not trying to down any product, but
right.
It doesn't last for real long, correct?
Right. And that's why, you know, you go to the drugstore and there's 100 different varieties of artificial tears. Well, here's the thing. You know, most of them, there, if you put a little radioactive tracer in an artificial tear and you put it in someone's eye, in a normal eye, in 5 minutes, there's nothing left. It's totally gone. So, you know, can you put a drop in every 5 minutes to keep yourself going? Well, no one has the time. And number two, most of the drops have preservatives in them, and you'll burn your eye out from the preservative chemicals. Wow. So we say don't use bottled artificial tears no more than every 2 hours. Now, there is non-preserved tears. They cost 5 or 10 times as much. And theoretically, you can put those in every second if you wanted, but who's going to do it every 5 minutes? It's just impossible. So the treatment of, you know, of dry now is to figure out, number one, why you're dry, and then direct treatment towards that problem.
What are some of the factors that can aggravate your eye?
Car defrosters.
Yes.
Yeah. There's some truth to that. That wind constantly blowing.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, obviously if your eye's closed, you're doing great. It's not as bad. But the minute you open your eye, and the longer you keep it open, the worse it gets. So dry eye typically gets worse at the end of the day. It also gets worse with intensive visual tasks like looking at a computer, driving a car. That'll aggravate it. And then any air movement around it, whether you're outside, windy conditions, let's say you're at home and you've got a circulating fan overhead, those also will dry your eye out even quicker.
Now, I know in the past, you know, everybody thought that because you have lack of tear production, that's what the problem was. That was the blame.
Yes, and so the problem is, since that was the common belief, and still in some, you know, unfortunately, some doctors still is, everybody will throw at you what's called an immunomodulator medicine. They assume that your body is attacking your tear production, which is the main cause of decreased tears, and that you stay on these drops. The common one is called Restasis, and it actually is the most commonly prescribed drop in the world. And they block, and in someone who has tear production deficiency, they can increase your tear production by up to 30%, which is wonderful. However, since no one commonly does the sophisticated tests, and that's only 14% of all people, probably 86% of people receiving Restasis are just wasting $100 a month on it and not making any progress. Although, you know, there's always the placebo effect that makes you think you're doing better.
Take me through the process. If I come in and my eyes are irritated, they're red, I feel like, Dr. Miller, I think, dry eye. I mean, I'm just not. What do you do with the patient? I mean, obviously, you have equipment that.
And you can look in the eye and see a couple things. You can see how much volume of tears. There's a little lake of tears on the lower lid. If it's low, you know they're in trouble. You can look at the front of the eye, and if the front of the eye is pitted, you can usually blame that on, you know, being too dry.
Now, what do you mean by pitted?
The cornea, instead of being nice and smooth, will have tiny little spots on it called superficial punctate keratopathy. It's the cells have died off because the eye's so dry. And so you can tell that that's a more advanced stage of dryness problem, and you can just tell by looking at it.
Is that a cosmetic thing, or is that more,
does that affect
the eye more than just the tears?
That'll hurt your vision, yeah.
Gotcha.
You can put a dye in the eye and watch how long it stays around. You know, the standard time for tears to break up is about 15 seconds. That's why we blink every 10 seconds. So, but some people, you know, you put that dye in there in like 2 seconds, it's gone, and they've got a dry spot on the eye. So those are the basic tests. Now, the more sophisticated tests, at least, you know, we have at Miller Eye Center, consist of measuring the salinity of the tears. We can also measure if there's any inflammation on the surface of the eye, because that tells you you have dying cells. And probably the most important one is we just take infrared photographs of the eyelids. It shows the oil glands in the eyelids. You can see, are they all there? Are they stuffed up? Or are they dying off because they start to die once they've been clogged for too long?
Is it more male or female, or is it just, does it matter?
Well, you know, people say that it's always more female.
Really?
But I think once again, it's in some ways it's because the males don't complain. You know, males typically, you know, you go through your life and you drop dead. You never have a complaint. At least you don't talk to the doctor. But I think it's pretty much equal in both sexes.
You know, all right. So, and you mentioned, Eric, that, you know, your blower in your car blowing at you. If you're outside or you're doing something, will constant wind or air or something, does that?
Oh, yeah, sure. That'll bother you. And certainly, you know, if it's dusty, that'll just irritate your eye more. So, and that's why using, in those conditions, using like a sunglass, something that wraps around, you know, touches your skin on the side to keep the air drafts away from the eye. That'll okay. make you more comfortable.
How about contacts? If someone wears contacts every day, does that help take some of the salinity, some of the oil, some of the tears away from the eye and dry it out?
It doesn't take it away, but it makes it more difficult. I mean, one contraindication to wearing contact lenses is having a dry eye. You know, that'll make contacts very uncomfortable. So, you know, wearing contacts will reduce your tolerance to a dry eye.
Got it.
Yeah, it certainly doesn't help.
You know, you talked, and we talked about going to a drugstore, and there's hundreds of brands of these solutions for, you know, trying to get your relief from your eye and dry eye. You know, do any of them, I mean, obviously great marketing, great advertising that everybody thinks that it helps, but...
And they're all different prices, too. So yeah. Some of the more expensive ones, I'm like, what does this one have that this...
Yeah, and I feel like it's going up my eyes, so I better buy the most
expensive. Well, you know, if you're going to use an artificial tear, number one, you'd want some tear that had some oil component in it. Even though, again, you know, you're fighting the five-minute rule, it's going to be gone. Because the number one problem is lack of oil. So you want to buy a tear that's an artificial tear that has an oily component in it. Otherwise, you know, the more expensive ones tend to be a little more comfortable. You know, they don't burn and sting as much, but none of them, as I said, none of them last past 5 minutes.
If you let the dry eye just go, I mean, you live with it, think, okay, this is what I got to deal with. You know,
you don't want to do, and here's the thing. So number one, if you've got plugged up oil glands, that, you know, happens usually later in life, although sometimes we'll find children with that. Once they get plugged up, the oil glands die off, and we can treat the lack of oil. We have a machine called the LipiFlow, and this wraps around the eyelids, and it heats up the inside surface of the eyelids to turn the solid oil into a liquid or a paste, and then it suctions and mechanically pumps them out. So a single LipiFlow treatment done in the office takes about 20 minutes. 80% of people will be more comfortable after a single treatment, and a single treatment lasts for 3 to 4 years. So two benefits. Number one, it gives you more oil instantly, but number two, it keeps your oil glands from plugging up and dying off, because once they're dead, you know, we can't bring them back.
Hmm.
Huh. The name is Dr. Miller, not Dr. Frankenstein.
Yeah, so. That's funny. Now, what treatment, you know, you have treatment with the oil. So how does it work then? What do you...
Well, you just lie down with your eyes closed, and you feel a little warmth, and you feel this suctioning feeling, and okay. And that's it. You lie there for, like, the actual treatment takes about 12 minutes, but by the time you get it, you know, set up...
How effective is it?
To put the seatbelt on.
As I said, 80% of people will be more comfortable after a single treatment, And that comfort lasts for 3 to 4 years. So nice long-term, you know, effect.
That's significant. For 20 minutes of time, that's really not bad at all.
Yeah, are you kidding? Yeah. Now, you know what, Dr. Miller? I know you have, you know, equipment that is amazing. And I don't want to put you, but does anybody else offer?
No. Number one, no one else has a LipiFlow up in Rockford or down in the Dixon area. Number two, most doctors do not do the sophisticated tear tests. So they really can't tell why you're dry. And, of course, if you can't tell why you're dry, you don't really know how to treat it.
Amazing. So, and again, we had said, you started off by saying, which I was a little bit stunned, you know, 40 million people, probably even more, have this, you know, dry eye.
Oh, yes. Yeah, it's incredibly common.
But people don't have to live with it.
No. The key is get in, get the diagnosis, and get a treatment going so you don't have troubles and don't get progressively worse with age. That's the, you know, let's stop it before it even bothers you more.
Dr. Miller, you mentioned that some kids have been found to have dry eye, but is there a target age where you should really start looking at this if this becomes a problem?
You know, like unfortunately most things, like age 50 and up.
Yeah.
But you know, it's just personal to the patient. So if you know, you're going about your normal day and near the end of the day, cause your eyes been open all day drying out. If your eyes are red, burning, stinging, gravelly feeling, itchy, you know, those are all signs of dry. Get in, see an eye doctor, find out whether you have, there's kind of only two causes, either dry eye or allergy. Find out which one it is, which the doctor can tell by looking at you, get the proper tests, and then get treated. So, number one, you're more comfortable. Number two, it doesn't get worse down the road. So we'll have people come in, you know, they're like maybe 60, 70 years old. You image the eyelids, and you find out there's no oil glands there. They're all gone.
Too late.
And too late. You can't do anything
when
for them.
Why does your sight get worse as you get older? You know, you're far or near sighting. And I had somebody send me a question to ask Dr. Miller.
Sure.
You know, far-sighted, near-sighted, why does your sight get worse over the years?
Well, number one, your eye shape stops changing at about age two. So the only thing changing in your eye is your lens. Behind the iris, we've got a clear lens, and it grows and thickens throughout life. And that typically will make you more near-sighted.
Okay.
So that's one issue. And of course we have cataracts, you know, the lens starts to get cloudy at age 50 in everybody, and that'll diminish your vision.
I just had somebody here at the station a couple of days ago, you know, hey, I'm starting not to really see very well. I'm, you know, I wearing, you know, little cheaters or whatever.
Well, that's a different thing. That's called presbyopia. That's the third issue. And what happens at mid 40s, everybody loses, the lens becomes less elastic. And you can't change the shape of the lens to focus on things up close. So everybody, age 45, ends up in reading glasses. Nothing
really?
To do with cataract, nothing to do with dry eye. Correct.
So about 45. And it's interesting you say that, because who I'm talking about is 49 years old.
Yeah, so they stalled a little. It's not like, it's almost like clockwork at age 45 in most patients.
That's amazing. And yeah. So that happens. And again, it's because... The eye.
Yeah, see, our lens in our eye is flexible, and we have muscles that change the lens shape to focus, just like a camera, electronic camera will rotate the lens. But because of the getting hard, and also these muscles actually, they involute, they disappear at mid-40s, and so you can't focus on things. So first you hold things further and further away, then finally, you know, you got to go to the reading glasses.
Wow. That's amazing. You nailed it just with the age. I mean, you're right on. That is crazy.
And this is way off topic from dry eye, of course, but does LASIK, if someone were to get LASIK at age 40, for example, would the aging process of 45 and up still apply, or would
that push it back a little bit more? See, an issue when LASIK came out, it was directed at young people because, you know, you want to get out of glasses. But even with LASIK, it doesn't affect the reading at all. So, you know, when you hit 45, even though you've had LASIK, you're going to be back in glasses.
Got it. Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
See, I always thought there was a chance. I didn't realize that it was something that was almost.
No.
Would you say a certainty or almost a certainty that something like that would happen? Is that what we're looking at?
Oh, it's 100% certainty.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
So now some people, you know, let's say you're...
Might as well save my money.
Yeah. Yeah, LASIK's interesting. The actual volume of LASIK has really decreased over the last... You know, it peaked at about 6 or 8 years ago at about 1.2 million. Now they're doing 500,000 or 600,000 a year. Wow. So it's got some problems, we'll say.
How often are you seeing dry eye? I mean, especially this is the peak time, right?
Oh, yeah.
Now.
I mean, day in, day out. Right. I would say, you know, 30% of my patients have dry eye complaints. They might come in for something else. But you say, do your eyes burn and sting? And they say yes. And then by looking at them, I can see they're dry, and I can see the oil glands are, you know, disappearing or getting dilated and clogged.
And so you know that right off. And you know, you have, as you said, the treatment, which is wonderful. If in some patients the treatment doesn't work, or what happens then?
Right.
I mean,
well,
are they just out? Sorry. Thanks a lot.
Well, you know, we
call
do
me it, tomorrow.
We have other old line treatments.
Yeah, okay.
So let's say, you know, you find out what the problem is, and if it's oil, you know, you do the oil thing and they still have problems. So you can do things. You can put in what's called punctal plugs. These are little silicone mushrooms that go in the lower tear drains, because we have two little holes. Well, we have four, actually. Two upper, one upper and one lower in each eyelid that drain into the nose. That's why you can taste tears, some wow. people. And so if you put the silicone plug in there, the tears sit around the eye longer. That's one treatment for dry eye that, you know, you can do that's helpful. You can shorten the eyelids down by sewing the outer portion to close the eye up a little bit. You're cutting the surface area for tear evaporation. That we do in desperate patients who are really super dry. So those are, you know, other things that can be done.
We are talking with Dr. Richard Miller, seeing eye to eye with Dr. Miller. I do want to let everybody know, too, we know that Dr. Miller has his practice up here in Rockford, but also you're down in the Dixon area.
Correct. Yeah, we're partners down there with KSB Hospital, and so we've been there for about 2 years now, actually.
So... we cover the whole area. So, again, you don't have to live with the irritation of dry eye, especially this time of year. You know, we were talking with, you know, no humidity and, you know, everything. You're closed in and the furnaces are going on. And so a lot of things that can affect dry eye. You know, also, I would think, Dr. Miller, if you work long at a computer,
yes,
or watching TV or something like that.
And then there's other things. There's the other outside factor that I forgot to mention is medications. A lot of medications will have a drying effect, especially antihistamines, and they'll make your eye drier. And a lot of medication used even for things like bladder control and other treatments in the body will also dry out and just decrease your tear production, which isn't helpful.
So with all of that going, obviously, knowing what their medication list is would
be quite helpful.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. And so we do this. And again, if people, you know, you could just make an appointment to dry eye. It seems like this is, if you said 30% of your patients come in, I mean, this is...
Right, and
this isn't that unusual to have this.
I have 62,000 patients that we follow currently at Miller Eye Center.
Oh my gosh,
so that's about 20,000, just about.
Can you imagine?
That's crazy.
With dry eye, and again,
estimating, of course.
If you love to read, or there's something that your eyes are irritated, you know, it seems like just go and get this checked out would be a smart thing to do,
right?
For sure, you know, and Dr. Miller, again, and I want to go back again, you know, if you're getting over-the-counter drugs at your local drug stores, a lot of these will soothe, but it's not long-term. Does it cause more problems than...
No, it doesn't. Well, you know, sure, if you get someone who's putting the drops in 20 times a day, they'll get a secondary effect from the drop preservative. But otherwise, no, the problem is it just doesn't, you know, and you'll tell, ask patients, well, yeah, it feels good for about 5 minutes. And then it's gone. And actually, if you have like an evaporative dry, that artificial tear won't even last 5 minutes. It'll be gone in 2 or 3 minutes.
Really?
So I think they help psychologically more than anything else, you know, from the placebo effect. But that's why there's so many brands out there.
Yeah, it really is. Again, I would recommend, you know, Dr. Richard Miller, Miller Eye Center, seeing eye to eye with Dr. Miller and talking about dry eye, and we're right in the peak.
Well, there's one other solution I forgot to bring up.
Okay.
Yes, you move to Florida.
Really?
Very few people in a high humidity area like Florida have dry eye. It's all the us poor northerners stuck up here.
So humidity does help then.
Oh, yes, sure. That's why dry is worse in the summer, and people are always improving by, or worse in the winter, sorry, and improving by summer. Yeah, exacerbate. Because when the furnaces go on, they take what little moisture out of, that is in the air, you know, instead of having a relative humidity of like maybe 40%, dries it down to 10%, and then you're really dry.
So when a patient comes in, you know, and they have dry eye and they want to talk to you, I mean, it sounds like this isn't a real big product before you can take a look and see what's going on.
No, it's not. It's not that difficult.
Okay. Well, for me it would be, but yeah. Again, talking with Dr. Richard Miller, dry eye is you don't have to live with it. That's for sure. And Dr. Miller, you know, we talk about dry eye and you know some of the different things that you offer there. Miller Eye Center is the place to go. Again, 40 million people in the U.S. Have dry eye, and you believe it's a higher number.
Oh, definitely.
That. And age has anything to do with it, or?
Well, typically, you know, especially with the oil glands, with age, you do tend to get more troubles. It's interesting. Younger people, you can do some of the tests in them, and even though they're dry, they just don't notice it. You know, they're younger, they're tougher.
That's all they know.
Yeah, and they'll live with it. But now and then, you know, we'll get a 20-year-old or a 15-year-old in that's in trouble and has all the oil glands plugged up, although typically it's just age that does it.
So it's low humidity, it's airflow, it's also some certain medications that you mentioned that can cause the lack of tears that are produced in the eye. But Dr. Miller, for someone who has seasonal allergies, is that if you take any kind of medication for that?
Correct. And that's why we try to get people off antihistamine drops or antihistamine medications because, number one, they aren't quite as effective at blocking the allergies. Number two, they have these bad side effects that they dry you out more.
Got it.
So for allergies, our mainline instructions for that is, number one, get allergy tested, find out what you're allergic to, eliminate that issue. And number two, if you're going to treat it, use more sophisticated drugs that block allergy more sophisticated than antihistamines. These are called MAST, that's MAST, cell blockers, that they'll stop the allergy without giving you the worrisome side effects of dry mouth, fatigue, you know, all those other things, and dry eye that come along with standard antihistamine use.
That's usually a prescription style. It's not OTC?
Yeah, it's prescription, typically.
Gotcha.
As always, my friend, it's always educational.
Well, I learn something new every time Dr. Miller's here.
You know, it is so good. And we talk to Dr. Miller once every month, and, you know, we can't thank you enough. And I hope our listeners all get some great information also. Again, the real key is if you're having any kind of issue with your eyes, you know, please do me a favor. Give Dr. Miller a call at Miller Eye Center, seeing eye to eye.
And if you missed any of this as well over the last half hour, the whole time here with Dr. Miller and Seeing Eye to Eye is going to go up on sportsfanrockford.com under the State Line Business First podcast as well.
Very great. Right. Thank you so much. Dr. Miller, as always, thank you, sir.
Oh, my pleasure. Good to be here.
For Dr. Richard Miller, for Eric Jackson, I'm Dean Irvin.
We got a basketball game tonight, right?
Yes.
And we're going to be over at Harlem High School, so that's going to be starting at 6:45 for the pregame, so stay tuned for that.
Absolutely. For Eric Jackson, I'm Dean Irvin. Have a great night, everybody. So long.